Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 17th of February, and I'm recording at a bit of a late-ish 10:22 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, another interesting day. I know I say that so often, but there's always something that really is interesting, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, let's have a look at these Asia-Pacific stock markets, and they're really quite steady. I mean, Japan had a quiet day, but indices slightly higher overall. Nikkei down 0.1%. The China market continues to gradually improve. Hang Seng Index up 0.25%. The Shanghai Composite up 0.75 percentage point. China Enterprises, Hong Kong Enterprises Index, that's up over 0.5% here. So again, as I say, edging higher. Taiwan was stronger. South Korea a little bit higher. Australia overbought in the short term, and it pulled back 0.5% in here today. India, tiny gains in here today also. But that's certainly improved over the last week or more. And elsewhere, looks like Singapore, 0.33% lower. And the biggest mover, though, actually is Thailand, which is down here today, 1.25%, but it is quite overbought. It's been one of the better performers here overall, but giving up a little ground right now. Now, in the European markets, mostly steady here overall, despite the overhang of Greece concerns. And, you know, we've got that stalemate there. It's a real eyeball-to-eyeball stand-down. But I think Greece is going to have to accept the terms being offered by really the majority of financial ministers, not least from Germany. And there may be a little tiny concession there in terms of time duration. But they don't have a strong hand, in my opinion, or they've overrated their hand. Now, European indices, I say, mostly firmer here. Sweden was an exception, down 0.8%. Germany also down 0.25% in here today. The others showed modest gains. Wall Street's one of the big stories here. Didn't do much today, but it had opened weaker. I mean, it was closed yesterday, but it opened weaker here today, and then gradually pared those losses back and closed with modest gains overall. But what does that mean? Another day to the upside in here. And this rally has been led by the NASDAQ Composite Index, and that was the first to hit a new all-time here among these major diversified indices. And so it's broken up out of that big trading range that had taken place, followed by the NASDAQ 100 index, which did it, I think, a couple of days later in terms of hitting a new high. So a little bit of tiny extensions to those gains today. The S&P 500 index, which is the big one that most people look at, that also is at a new high, breaking up out of that range. The Dow has not hit a new high, but it's very close to it. It's probably had a closing high here, but not a new all-time high. And one of the more impressive ones, the Russell 2000. Remember that? I used to refer to that as the canary in the coal mine. Well, it still is in many respects, but it had gone silent last October, and looked really quite toppy. Moreover, it's been ranging for well over a year, and it's at new high ground. So this is impressive looking stuff. Now, all these indices are overbought here in the short term, so it would only take a small lull or fright to cause them to react. But hey, you get these indices ranging for months, and a lot of nervous talk going around, and concern over the oil, and concern over Russia, and concern over what's going on in Europe, and concern over China. And here these US indices are hitting new highs. Well, there's nothing technically bearish about the new highs, that's for sure. As a matter of fact, what they're doing is reaffirming the overall upward trends, and that's good news. Now, among the bigger indices, let's see, the transport's not doing all that well. It's lagging, but it's up, it's towards the higher side of its overall range. The one that is clearly not doing well is the what is it? It's utilities. And but the utilities had become very, very overextended to the upside, similar to what had happened last September. And then they saw a very sharp reaction. Well, utilities have seen quite a sharp downward reaction, and they're really back quite close to their MA. They haven't quite reached it, but they've certainly corrected that big overextended condition on the upside, and are oversold in the short term. So I wouldn't be surprised if the utilities start to steady in here fairly soon. If not, interest rates might just possibly be a factor. More on that in a moment. Okay, and elsewhere, let's see, Canada, tiny gain, Mexico, 2/3 of a percentage point, and Brazil, good gain in here, and up 2 and a nearly 2 and a quarter percent, or is it closed in here today? I'm sorry, I think that may actually, I think that's it's closed. That was on the 13th. Okay, what else is going on here? Government bonds. Now, this is interesting. This U.S. 10-year Treasury bond, you know, people have just stuck to these bonds like glue, and they've been right, or they were right. You go back to the end of March, and they were sitting on highs in terms of their total returns. Well, back on the 30th of January, that U.S. 10-year yield was 1.6357%. Today, it's 2.1379%. Now, that's a bit of a eyebrow raiser here. That's the biggest rally since last October. And with the exception of the first couple of days of the start of the rally, which was quite dramatic in October because it had accelerated downwards and then rebounded very sharply for a couple of days, but then had a more gradual recovery. This recovery shows more upward dynamics, including in here today, taking it up back, as I say, to nearly 2.14%. Now, it's still in the overall downward trend, but those bondholders in the 10 years and other dates, again, performing similarly, they're experiencing a profit erosion in here right now. Nobody likes profit erosion all that much. They've seen it before. They'll look at the overall trend and say, well, okay, nothing really dramatic has taken place here yet, and they'll be correct on that. But, you know, how long can we go on expecting these bond yields to fall lower? A lot of people have been saying that, well, we were going to have lower bond yields because We had no inflation, and we had strong deflationary pressures around the globe, exacerbated by what was taking place in Europe, and they were bearish on China. Well, and a point that I've made and just hammered away at here on these audios is that a lot of that deflation that you're seeing is due to this accelerated rate of technological innovation. And that is, for the most part, it's a very positive form of deflation. So it's not the negative deflation of lower sales, profits, and prices at all. There is some of that around. There always is some of that around, but not to the extent that people have been worrying. So, are we going to get a little bit of a panic out of the U.S. bond market? Well, that question would have sounded ludicrous a few weeks ago, but I think it's really very relevant today. And this is interesting. If we do get a little bit of a panic out of the bond market, it'll be good for equities because we would see some transfer of capital there. Not all of it, obviously, but the bond market's huge, and just partial shifting there would be helping Wall Street to move higher. Perhaps it's already helping Wall Street to move higher and produce those new highs. Okay, and looking at the U.S. dollar in here today, the dollar index, take that first, is down a little bit. It's been quiet in here. It's at 94.07, off the high. Not too much drama in currencies, although the euro is a little steadier, 1.1412, and the Australian dollar is also a little steadier, 0.7816. This is against the US, of course. And sterling is, as soon as I can find it, sterling going the other way, but not by much, 1.5349. It's down a tiny bit against the greenback. And we had China renminbi not doing much. I wanted to look at the Indonesian rupee. I'll just bring that up. And the Indian rupee, I mean. It's quiet, 62.1625. That's basically a pretty firm currency, helped by the strong yield and the strong central banker lending confidence there. And precious metals, well, I'm glad I got out of my positions in these things because it's just a little bit too hairy. I've just been describing them as sort of big leveraged fund playthings in here, and they got hammered in here today. Palladium, not as much as some of the others, but it's down 12.5. But silver fell like a stone. Was down over 90 cents. Got down, I think, 95 cents. Fell to as low as 16.26, and it's currently still trading after hours, but it's down 82.5 cents at $16.47. And remember, that was comparatively steady late last week. And platinum down to 1176, so that's down over $31 in here today. And gold down nearly $23 as I speak, and that's down to $1,208.60. So are they bottoming out? Well, I've been saying that for a while, that they certainly showed some evidence of that. It wasn't conclusive, and it seldom is conclusive until you get clear emergence to the upside from a base area. But platinum here fell to a new low in this move overall today. So, I think we still have to put have to say, are these base building in here? Question mark. And yeah, some evidence, but again, not conclusive. And the action is hairy. There's too much of the high frequency type trading activity there. So I prefer to be in my speculative longs, my leverage longs, that is, in some stock market indices, which is the case today. And last thing to mention on this, well, no, I pretty well covered this Eurozone factor here. Just to say that people are still a little bit nervous about it overall, but the big factor that they're looking forward to is next month. Then the ECB, Mario Draghi, starts with that 60 billion a month euro buying program. And that is certainly going to be a strong tailwind for stock markets, just as we've seen in other stock markets where we've had the QE. Okay, all the very best to all of you.